Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how did the locked door open by itself? Could it have been an intruder, or could it have been something more supernatural?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. So many ways to get those ghost stories over to us. Have you made your decision yet, Todd? And are you going to be handing out candy? What type of candy? And also, what's the best razor blade to buy for Halloween?
That's horrible. I think I want to. First of all, I got to figure out exactly when trick-or-treating is. Mm-hmm. I can't remember in this city if they do it on the weekend or if they do it on the night itself.
Yeah.
I would like to hand out candy. But it's always better in Wisconsin. It's always better if it's a nice, warm or semi-cool evening. But when there's snow and it's windy, it's like, ugh, you know?
It doesn't feel like Halloween when there's snow on the ground.
Right.
I remember trick-or-treating in a snowsuit as a child. And this is the interesting thing, and interesting to note about Halloween costumes in Wisconsin. I remember this because a lot of times our parents would make costumes. There was a time where you didn't just go to Walmart and there was 1,000 costumes you could choose from. It used to be go to the fabric store, mom would sew it, or if you knew how to do it, you would do it. And you could get the patterns and all that, but they'd always make them about 2 or 3 times larger than our normal size, just in case we needed to fit like a winter coat underneath there or a snowsuit. And then if you get one of those warm Halloweens where it's like 70, you just have an insanely baggy costume and it doesn't look like it fits you. But the whole purpose was for that.
That and it always turned out for me when someone in my family made it, mm-hmm. I would have to explain what it was because it wasn't made all that well. You know, so it's like, what are you? Well, okay, let me explain this to you.
Who are you this year? Yeah, I eventually just went with the zombie thing forever. I think I don't know, probably was like elementary, like 4th or 5th grade, maybe even younger, but 2nd or 3rd, really, where I won a costume contest. I was taking bowling lessons because it's a very Wisconsin thing to do.
Right.
Bowling lessons Saturday morning at a place called Carl Ray Lane's in our hometown. Oh,
yes.
And it was me and my cousin and our dads would be there. And it was usually in fall and it was always fun. And then afterwards, we would go to the Fleet Farm next door, which is like a Lowe's or something. And we would go to their Halloween section. And I always loved doing that because it's really creepy and cool. But anyway, there was a Halloween costume and I did the zombie thing and I did like liquid latex on my face and made it up really cool. And I won. And it's one of the few things I've ever won in my life. And I pretty much stayed a zombie every year after that for the next 30 some years.
I love that. Unfortunately, my only real memory of a Halloween was a scary one for me in that I went with my cousin and my aunt took us trick or treating and she took us to an old folks retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scarred for life because that was just a really scary thing with old people in wheelchairs moaning and groaning and, you know, salivating and all that kind of stuff. And I, of all the Halloweens I've been a part of in my life, that's the one that sticks out.
I've heard that from so many people who were children that went to the old folks home for Halloween for their trick or treating. And if you've never been to one, it can be kind of shocking if you've never been in that sort of environment and seeing, you know, older people near the end of life. It can be a little scary. But I do remember doing that too. And it was one of the weirdest trick or treating because everybody wants to touch you too. They're all like,
yeah,
oh, come here. Oh, look at me. Like it was a little freaky. I
remember saying, what's that smell? You know,
the whole place has that smell. Let me give you, oh, I'm out of candy. Let's see what I'm sitting on here. Here's a nutty bar, a Little Debbie. Would you like that? And it's all kind of smushed because I've been sitting on it all day and it's really hot.
Yeah.
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 I had a great grandma that would give me those every time I saw her at the Lutheran home is where we would go for that. And it would always be a nutty bar, a Swiss cake roll, or a Star Crunch. Very thoroughly melted and very thoroughly sat on. But they were always delicious from great grandmother with love. Grandma Isla was her name. Let's go to our first phone call. 855-853-4802 is that number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over there. Let's hear your ghost story.
Greetings from Missouri. I have a story for you that I remembered. I was probably 11 or 12 when this happened, and I would say probably, I want to say sixth grade. My parents were going to be going to a dinner party, I think, and they said, you can have friends spend the night. My sister was on vacation. I think she was with a friend or something. She may have been at camp or something, but she was not at home. I know that. And at this time, we lived in a ranch house that had three main doors, the front door, the back door that led out into our backyard, and then the door that led into the garage. And I remember as my mom was telling us, like, you can have popcorn, you know, this is the number we're going to be at. She locked the front door. She locked the back door. And then my dog at the time, she was an older terrier mix, and she kind of just hung out in our living room and would sleep on a chair most of the time. And we had a finished basement at the time, and that's where we watched movies. And my dad had rented us a couple movies, and we were going to just hang out and do that. So my parents left, and we went downstairs, my friend and I, and we started watching the movie, probably an hour into it, and my dog started barking. And it was kind of like a persistent type of bark. And it was unusual because she was older, she didn't bark that much. I mean, it really, she did here and there, but this was kind of weird. I didn't think much of it. I thought I was kind of more annoyed by it, but I know the doorbell didn't ring or anything like that because you can hear it in our basement. So my friend and I are kind of almost getting to the point where we're ready to go upstairs, pause the movie and see what's going on, but it finally stopped. So I think there was like 20 minutes more, you know, the remaining in the movie. We watched it, and then I was like, hey, let's go make some popcorn. So we go upstairs, and I, you know, kind of come up, you know, I'm turning around the corner, and I'm like frozen with fear. The front door is wide open, and it's not ajar. It's not, you know, it is like somebody opened it all the way as far as it could be open. And my dog was just sitting in her chair very calmly. She wasn't upset anymore. She wasn't barking. And I'm just, and it's like the door, there's no broken glass. There's no damage to the door, I should say that. And we also had a screen door that was in between the front door and the, you know, to the outside. So there was another door. And my friend and I both looked at each other, and we even commented that the wind couldn't have done it because it wasn't even a windy night. It wasn't even a breezy night. So we were just dumbfounded. We're thinking, first of all, we're like, is somebody in the house? And we're kind of, you know, my heart was pounding so hard because I'm scared. I did not know what to do. I was absolutely, you know, you just kind of look at it and go, what is going on? And then we both looked at each other and we're like, well, that's why, you know, the dog was barking, and I didn't know what to think. So other than that door, nothing, there's, you know, nothing's ransacked, nothing. But we're still absolutely freaked out. And we call my friend's father. I don't remember why we didn't call my parents. Maybe we tried to call wherever. All I know is we called my friend's father. He came right over because they live nearby. And he searched the whole house. And he said, there's nothing. Nothing's broken. There's no signs of a break-in. He said that the only thing that was weird was in my parents' bedroom, the bedspread looked weird. And he asked if my dog may have jumped on the bed and, like, pushed part of the bedspread down, because my mom would always make the beds. My mom was a neatnik. And she, you know, this looked, I know you're probably like, so what about the bedspread? But it was like, this looked weird. It wasn't like somebody flipped a bedspread over. It was like one little corner of it was down, and it looked very odd. And I know that when we were walking around talking with my mom before we left, it was not like that. Then I thought, okay, someone was in the house. Someone had to have been here. But I don't know many burglars that break into homes to push a bedspread back. when my mom came home later, I talked to her about it and I showed her the bedspread and she was like, that's weird. And she did check to see if any of her jewelry had been missing. Like she, maybe they didn't make a mess, but she lifted her jewelry box up, nothing. I think about it now and I'm like, I don't think so. I think that was paranormal. And the reason it's just because it made absolutely no sense. It's like everything would point more to that direction than it would for actually a physical person to have been in the house that was alive. My dog was barking at something. That's for sure. Like I said, I remember it being kind of a persistent bark and unlike her at the time because of, you know, her being older and she was just much more lazy at that point because, I mean, and she just really hung out on this chair in the living room. It was an older home. Like, I want to say it probably was built in the 30s or the 40s. To this day, you know, you think about it, but I'm thinking it may have been something else, but it definitely scared the hell out of my friend and I. Like we thought somebody was in the house with us, but I don't know how a locked, heavy, solid oak door gets open all the way. No damage to it. No, you know, no glass broken, no broken wood, nothing. Just opens as if it's just unlocked and there's no breeze and there's nothing else and the bedspread. I still think that's funny. I guess, you know, they just wanted to push the bed or it just wanted to push the bedspread down, maybe to say it was there. It was his calling card, but I don't know. It was very weird. There were some weird noises in that house over the years that freaked me out, but it definitely wasn't like a very active house. I know I hear some really, you know, scary stories on here where people live in these homes and they have stuff happen to them constantly and it's horrible. I'm lucky that this was it. It's something I'll never forget though. I can still see the front door open in my, you know, it's something you don't forget. It's very vivid to me even to this day. So. But anyway, I thought I would share that with you. So I hope you're having a great week and love listening to the podcast. So thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on that?
I think for me, the spookiest thing is finding the front door wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, like that is the worst thing that could happen in a scary movie is like you hear this noise, blah, 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 and you just think it's nothing. And then all of a sudden the front door's open or there's a window wide open and the curtains blowing in the breeze. You know, it's like, what? Who got in the house
and why and all that? Yeah. And then when you can never find the exact answer, I think that makes it even a little creepier because you don't know. Is there something in here? Is there somebody in here? And you just don't know. You know, and maybe 4 weeks later when the vagrant comes out and says, hey, I've been eating all your ramen and I've been smelling your underwear. Like, okay, time for you to leave. Time to go, scary person who's living in my attic, you know.
And apparently smelling my underwear.
That's creepy when that happens. It does. It happens all the time. thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up this episode. If you want access to all of our bonus episodes and everything in the archives, all ad-free, check us out on Apple Podcasts and our premium channel. Just a few bucks. You can subscribe for the full year and get everything all year. Or go month to month for just a few bucks. We greatly appreciate that support. Patreon.com/realghoststories, the other place to get it if you're not on Apple. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.